gave me a whole bag of my favorite sweets. I love minstrels. Chocolate, in terms of chocolate, I just love minstrels. And, you know, I must confess, I ate all of them quite quickly, but I have saved one. It's not a roller, but it is one solitary minstrel, which I am willing to give away. I know. I mean, you know, I'm so Christ-like, so generous. I'm willing to give away to anybody who can answer this question accurately and who is 18 years old or younger. Unless there is no one who can answer the question correctly, 18 years or under, in which case I will throw it open to the rest of us. So the question is, okay, we know that Jesus rose from the dead, and we're celebrating, continuing to celebrate that today, a week on from Easter Sunday. But Jesus, after his resurrection, stuck around for a while, didn't he, before he went back to the heavens. So the question is, how many days did Jesus stay on earth, who's under 18 or under, like I said, how many days did Jesus stay on earth before he went back to the heavens? Anybody 18 or under want to hazard a guess? You can always guess. 18 and under, so includes 18. You can have a guess. Not two. Not five. Am I opening it up to the people who don't need chocolate? Frankly. Okay, I'm going to open it up to 80 years or above. Bill, how many days? Not 10. No, not 10. Okay. Well, this is getting complicated. Anybody retired? I'm going to give it anybody retired. Anybody who's retired from work? Garth, what do you reckon? Not a week. Okay, I'm going to open up to anybody then. All right. Let me see who deserves it. I don't know. Okay, I've got to let Lance have a go because he's too big and my regret is, how many days, Lance? 40 is correct.
Oh, no.
40 is correct. Acts 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, that's his followers, and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. I find it fascinating that Jesus stuck around so long. Hadn't he done a lot of teaching over the last three and a half years of his ministry? And he stuck around not for a few days, not for a week or two, but basically for, well, over a month. And so today we are looking at the issue of the fact that Jesus still lives. And because he lives, that means something for you and me. But what does it mean? You see, we often think about the resurrection in terms of he rose from the dead, he conquered the grave, and amen. But we don't, I think, often enough think about what does it mean to us that he still lives. Now, he lives in the heavens, but he lives. He's not in some other state. He isn't an other state to ours in one sense, but in another sense, he still shares our life because he still lives. And I think that's very significant. So we're going to talk about this today because the early church, it's interesting when you look at this, the early church did preach that Jesus rose from the dead. But when you look at the book of Acts and the letters, it also emphasizes that he has life and that we have his life. And so again, what does that mean? And it's encapsulated a lot of this in the song called Because He Lives. Now, we're going to sing this at the end of the service. We've only done it once or twice here before, but I do love the sentiment of this song. Because He Lives. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy our pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And the chorus is, because He lives. This is the question we're asking ourselves today. What does it mean to you and me? Because He lives, well, what? For us. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, a calm assurance. This child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. And then one day, I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then, as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. So, let's review a few things, and then I'm going to ask us to break into some groups for some discussion for a while and prayer. So firstly, Jesus's life is real life. In other words, not just when He was here on earth, but in His resurrection, He came back to a new resurrected life, but it was real life. In other words, after His resurrection, let me ask you, in His 40 days of what we've got recorded, what tells you that it was real life that He had? What kind of things were happening that show you that His life after His resurrection was real human life, though in a resurrected form? What happened? Yeah, Lorna? He ate. All right, that's real life, isn't it? Joe? He did some cooking for them. He cooked breakfast on the shore in John, at the end of John 20, in John 21. Yeah. Bill? He showed them the wounds. He showed Timothy the wounds, the physical wounds. Okay. Yeah, he did. Thomas, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Bruce? He broke bread. He broke bread on the road. He walked with them. He taught them. He broke bread. He ate with them. Lance? Touch him. Yeah, he allowed people to touch him. Again, this is real life, right? Okay, so he has real life. And a few examples, and I'm not going to go into these in detail now, but just as reference, and I'm going to give a handout out in a minute that has these on, so you don't need to write them down now, but just reflect on the facts of them. The teaching of the early church. God has raised this Jesus to life. In other words, not just to some other state, a resurrected state, but He raised Him to life, and we're all witnesses. The people who accused the Apostle Paul were saying about Him that they had certain points of disagreement about their own religion, about a certain Jesus who had died, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Not just resurrected, but Jesus was still alive. Acts 7, when Stephen is there, what does he see? He sees heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This is life that Jesus has in the heavens. Or also, the next one, Romans 8. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, continues to be at the right hand of God. 2 Corinthians, He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by God's power. Revelation 1, I am the living one. I mean, Jesus says it Himself, I am alive. I'm the living one. I was dead, but now look, I'm alive forever and forever. And we have one more, I think. Now that's it for this point. So, Jesus' life is real life. I think we need to let that settle in a little bit into our own hearts. What does that actually mean? I'd like you to be discussing that in a minute, okay? The second thing is that Jesus's new life is also our life. It's our life now as well. He has a new life. He's given us this new life for us to experience and to joy and to enjoy. I have been crucified, says Paul, with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. My belief in Christ is not just an intellectual belief. Christ lives in me. There's something about Christ inhabiting us here. Philippians 3. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. That's something experiential. It's something real happening. 1 Peter 1. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth, a new life, a living hope through the resurrection. This resurrection has given us a new life. Hope is alive because Jesus is alive. And then finally, Jesus's life is powerful. His life is real life. His life is our life. His life is a power-filled life. Again, some passages to reflect on in a minute. Romans 8, Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding, continues to do that. He lives to intercede for us. So this powerful life is used for our benefit to intercede for you and me. Hebrews 7, he always lives to intercede for them. And Hebrews 9, now to appear for us in God's presence. This is what is happening for us. His power means that we have an interceding Christ living to intercede for us. But not only that, also to give us his victory. We share in his victory over sin and death, over all the powers. Colossians 3, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We are raised with him to this place of victory over the powers and victory over death. Romans 6, Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. No power over him. He cannot die again. We are living in the era of an afterglow of the resurrection, a glorious afterglow of the resurrection that benefits us. We're also living in an era of a terrible aftermath for death. Death is a terrible aftermath for death in this because death has been defeated. I like this quote from Malcolm Gwight, if that's the right way to pronounce his name. Death has been swallowed up in victory, as it says in Corinthians. There's a powerful paradox here, a great gospel reversal. For until Easter, it was death who did all the swallowing up every life, every civilization, swallowing up so many hopes and dreams, breaking so many hearts. But now death itself is swallowed up. And it is life, the resurrection life Jesus shares with us, that swallows death and stands triumphant. I love the way that he puts this. So with these thoughts in mind that we've been talking about, his real life, the fact that we have his life and that we have the power of his life, with us and in us. What does this mean for us? We're going to have some discussion here about what it means because he lives. Yes, maybe because he lives, you think, well, I have hope, or I can face tomorrow, or I am never alone. But how would you finish the sentence? Because he lives, what does it mean? And so I'm going to give some handouts with these questions on, and we'll spend some time discussing this together with each other. What difference does it make in your day-to-day life that Jesus is alive? Secondly, is there a moment in your life when knowing he lives gave you strength, courage, or peace? And thirdly, what's one area of your life where you want to live more like the resurrection is real, that Christ's life is yours, available to you? That's what we're going to be discussing for a while. We'll come back and share a few thoughts, and then I'll share one final scripture before we take the Lord's Supper. What do you think, people? What stood out in your conversations? Dan, you got something? Do you want to...
Me? Oh, sorry.
Bob.
That's just quick. I think for me, it's going to sound obvious, but it's kind of obvious, but not. Is the sense that when I'm talking to God in prayer and Jesus, that I'm not talking to a dead person.
Right. Yeah.
He's just in a different location to me. I can't see him, but he's real and there. I wish, and knowing God, that every time I talk to him, one day I will fully see him. When I, death has a different meaning to me now, if that makes sense. It's a little bit scary, but because Jesus is alive, it's not that scary.
Yeah.
I think the thing what scares me most is about missing the people here and leaving them behind as opposed to my own death.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like I'm just changing location. The excitement of that is seeing Jesus, the person that spoke everything into existence, and knowing him has given me a different perspective on my life, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a,
praying to somebody who is alive. Yeah.
But at the same time, I can sometimes not live like that. And then, it's that constant needing to realize that Jesus is real every day in my life.
Mm.
He's always there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Capturing that and holding on to it. Thanks, Dan. All right. Who else has got something to share? Lance?
No, but the reason why you serve the people fantastic.
I think, the thing is, can't the people online hear more? It's for the people online as much as it is for us in here. Sorry, yeah.
So what I like is the idea of the conversation with Jesus, that you have a chat, you pray, and you go from one state to another, the living to another, to heaven. But that conversation, that relationship remains the same. Yeah. And that was a very poignant point you gave. Yeah, and I still haven't got 25 houses. There was only 21. But that was that's what I really liked about the idea that Jesus is alive and you have that conversation. So that transition absolutely is a daunting thought, especially as we get older, we feel that door knocking. But that conversation is consistent. There's something there which is never changing.
Very good. Thank you. Super, super, thanks. Okay, got time for some more. Over on that side, there's a couple of hands. Bruce and Stefan, either of you, both of you.
It's funny, but the idea that Jesus is alive and like something similar to what Danny shared, it's not like, sometimes I think he's like in the heavens, thousands of miles away, behind the moon somewhere, but he's actually somehow here, real, and he can appear in this room just as he may have done in the upper room. That proximity of a live person, it's freaky, actually. It's like, wow. It's to say that he's real, he's also possesses the potential of physicality in whatever way he was present. That. So, yeah, it kind of brings it into more focus and makes the idea of my conversation with him a conversation rather than have to show it really loud because he can't hear me because he's far away.
Thanks. I'll pass that back to Stefan. Yeah.
On the second questionnaire of, is there a moment in your life where knowing he lives gave you strength, courage, peace, especially the peace bit? A number of years ago when we were in Amsterdam, one of the young boys at the rugby club died in an accident. And it was a big shock to everybody. And that moment of knowing that because Jesus is alive, that there's he would also be alive as an innocent child. Found a lot of peace in that, because there's so many questions when a young boy dies unexpectedly like that. It's very hard to process and challenge. And you hear about it, and it's kind of, you raise questions, but if it's someone very close to you that you seen almost every Saturday on the rugby field and press read him, it's much harder to process. And I found a lot of peace in knowing that Jesus being alive also, he'll be fine.
Thank you. Thanks for that. Thank you.
Any women with a thought? We've had all the blokes so far, so that's okay. But there we go,
we were having a conversation about like the expectations we have on life, and I feel like in the last one I like the idea of living as children and like trusting God's process, like, so how society has like these expectations to be married and have kids and do all these things in a certain order, or and sometimes life can like throw off us off that track, or like jobs would like our expectation of where we should be in our job and our career. But I feel like God has a purpose in all of our struggles as well. And I feel like being childlike means that we can feel safe in him being our father, and feel safe in when the struggles come, we can pray and be childlike and be safe in being his children. I really like that idea. I feel like daily the power of prayer is something that it shows that he's alive, because you could be going through something so stressful and just praying can change how you feel about that, and just giving it to God is so powerful.
Can change everything in an instant. That's lovely. Thank you very much. And Sharon, was your hand up, I think?
Yeah, I realized when we were talking about this that I actually tend to think when I pray, I pray to God rather than Jesus. So I tend to think more of God, the Father, rather than of Jesus, you know, someone being alive. But I know they're the same, but it's hard for me to understand. I think for all of us to understand that they are the same, but Jesus was the human form of God. But I'm just point two, you know, we just discussed a bit about how constantly God gives us strength, courage, and peace. When we pray about something, we talked about that, you know, when I pray about something and I actually see the results and I see that prayer being answered, that, you know, I constantly get strength and courage or peace from God.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Maybe one more. I think we have time for one. At the back, Akin.
It's just the last one. The last question was, one area of your life where you want to live more like the resurrection is real. I think it follows on from what the lady here was saying. I think the resurrection was everything that had been messed up for the people around Jesus. It all ended basically, and suddenly Jesus was alive, and they could see him. They eat with him, walk with him, and it was almost like light and day for them. And it turned their depression, they were really down into life. And that's one area which I would like to do more, is to allow the knowledge of the resurrection to give me that on a more regular basis. When things happen that you don't expect, you know, and everybody has experiences in their life, at those moments to be able to understand that actually there's going to be a resurrection at the end of the day and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Thank you. That's so good. Thanks everybody for all the things you shared and anything you online were thinking about and would like to have shared. Thank you. I want to wrap up just with a couple of thoughts before we take the Lord's Supper. It seems to me that this kind of idea is something that we could accept intellectually without fully embracing what it means. And I think a lot of things in the Christian life are like that. We accept the fact that God has overcome through Christ, or with the sacrifice of Christ, has overcome the power of sin, has overcome the grave. We accept that. We accept that our sins are forgiven. And we have the Holy Spirit and we have the presence of Christ in us. But what does it mean? What does it mean for day-to-day life? And I share this because sometimes there's a tendency to narrow that down to certain behaviors and almost like rules of the Christian life. So because Christ is real, therefore I will confess my sin, or I will pray every day, or I will read the Bible every day, or I will come to church meetings, and none of those things, obviously those things are all good, but it can be reduced to that rather than the sense of it being a personal experiential relationship with God in Christ, that he is alive and with us. We walk with him. We've taken on his yoke so that we can walk yoked with him. With God, yes, but with Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, verse 9, right? We have the Spirit of Christ in us. John 14, 23, Jesus said he would come and make his home in his followers. So what does that mean? And I'm not suggesting we can answer all that in one lesson or a few conversations, but I think it's worth setting aside some time to talk about this with a friend or pray about it with God, reflect, maybe write some things down, because it can make all the difference. Jesus said to his followers not long before his death, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live," he's talking about his post-resurrection life, "because I live, you also will live." We live differently in this world because we have Christ's life. We experience this world differently to anybody else because we have Christ's life in us. So to review what we've been talking about, the early church preached that Jesus was alive. And we know that his resurrected life is our life. We also know that he lives to intercede for us, and he lives in victory. And that changes how we live. Changes how we live. Because Jesus loves us, he went to the cross. Because God loves us, he raised Christ from the dead. And because Christ lives, well, what? For you and me. Because he lives, fill in the blank. Pray about the blank. Take some time today. Take some time this week to think about what it means for you that Christ lives, because he lives. Let's pray together. And then we'll take bread and wine. In fact, I'd like to ask, would anybody like to pray for us all? Someone like to pray? Yes, okay. Thank you, please, if you would.